Kayleen's favorite songs from a college age youth group that she led in Escanaba, Gladstone, Michigan. My life is a prayer to you. I want to do what you want me to. No empty words, no white lies, no token prayers, no compromise. I want to shine the light you gave through your Son you sent to save us from ourselves and our despair. It comes to me. You're really there. Well, I want to thank you now for being patient with me. Oh, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. Well, I guess I'll have to trust and just believe what you say. Oh, you're coming again, coming to take me away. I want to die and let you give your life to me, that I might live and share the hope you gave to me, the love that set me free. I want to tell world out there, you're not some fable or fairy tale that I've made up inside my head. You got the Son and you've risen from the dead. Well, I want to thank you now for being patient with me. Oh, it's so hard. When my eyes are on me, well, I guess I'll have to trust and just believe what you say. So you're coming again, coming to take me away.
God speaks comfort and peace to us through the prophet Isaiah with these words. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice calls out, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley will be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, the rough ground become level and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The scriptures reveal to us that God wants His people to be comforted so that He can do things that are beyond our ability to do. The leveling of the mountains and the evening out of the rough places is something that the Spirit of the Lord will do for us. Today we gather together to give thanks to God for a life well lived, a life that pointed all of us to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the family has specifically asked that this be a worship experience, that for the time that we're together in this room today, we would be able to join with the worship that Kayleen is enjoying, the worship that is going on perpetually in the throne of God. And so let's stand together as we join together to sing, "You Are Holy."
I will live my life for you.
maker of heaven and earth, and He is above all of His creation. We want to lift our praises to Him as our family comes in and joins us for this time of celebration. Let's exalt the name of the Lord.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man.
Here today to honor Kayleen Mary, who has died. We're here because in one way or another her death affects us all. We're here to listen again to some of the great words of the Christian faith, to consider, to remember, and in quiet gratitude to give thanks for Kayleen's life. We are here to renew our trust in God who's promised, I will not fail you or desert you. And our hope is in Jesus, who declared, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. With Job, we affirm, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. My name is John Steer, and I'm the pastor of Autumn Ridge Church. And on behalf of the family, I want to thank you for your presence here today. Your prayers and support have been an enormous encouragement to them. Some of you have come from overseas, others from various parts of the United States. Some of you were intimately involved with Kayleen's care. Others of us are simply grateful for her profound example of confidence in God in the face of death. Family wants this service to be a celebration of Kayleen's life, but more than that, they want it to be a testimony to the goodness and the greatness of God. Kayleen would tell us, do not lift me up, but lift up my Saviour. And as we do that, we will be comforted, we will be encouraged, and we will be built up in our faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord of life and conqueror over death, we thank you that you are our refuge and our strength. You are a very present help in every time of trouble. We ask that you'd send your Holy Spirit to comfort us as we mourn the death of Kayleen Mary. Grant us grace to worship you, the everlasting God. We put our trust in your goodness and mercy. And we commend to you the members of the family. Surround them now with your presence and love. Enable them to cast their cares upon you with the sure knowledge that you care for them. We do rejoice in the reality and assurance of heaven, a place where you dwell with your people. We thank you that in that beautiful land you wipe every tear from our eyes and promise that death shall be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will vanish there, for you declare, I'm making all things new. There your saints reign with you. Forever and ever. So we ask that you'd accept our adoration and our thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, Amen. The music, the songs and the participants this afternoon were chosen by Kayleen. And we worship God as we sing praise to the Lord. The Almighty, the King of creation. Let's stand as we sing. My soul praise Him
Let it be your name. Join John in welcoming all of you here today, including those who have traveled many miles just to celebrate Keeling's memorial service and to celebrate a life well lived for God. A special welcome to the medical personnel. Your presence here today honors Keeling and also speaks of your loving care. As I contemplated what to say this past week, I realized how inadequate a few minutes were to summarize a life, but knowing that none of you expected me to speak anyway, frees me whether I simply stood up here and babbled like an idiot or handed off this paper to John Steer to come and read for me. You'd still find it somewhat touching. I'd tried. Friends and family, Keeling believed in the goodness of God despite bad life circumstance. Just as she didn't doubt the existence of the sun when it went behind the clouds, nor its warmth, so she didn't doubt God's existence, nor his love during bad life circumstances. Psalm 119:68 says, God, you are good, and what you do is good. Goodness is both the essential nature of God and the nature of his works. This afternoon, my comments are mainly directed at my children. The rest of you can listen in if you want. Kids, I want to summarize Mommy's life by noting that God was good in loving Mommy as his child, that God was good in giving Mommy to me and me to her for a season, and that God was good in taking Mommy home to heaven. My dear children, God was good in loving Mommy. Mommy taught you this precious lesson. Jesus loves me. This I know. And his love was never more clearly demonstrated than when he sent his son, Jesus, completely God, yet completely man, born in Bethlehem. Like Ben said at Christmas, you can't bow down to babies, but you can bow to Jesus. He is worthy of our praise. He came, he died, he rose. That's Jesus. And when you're able to say it and experience it, as all five of you have, nothing else really matters. For Mom, life was about Jesus and death was gain, going to live with her dear Lord. That afternoon last week when she finally loosened her grip on this earth, she ran not into the unknown, but into the arms of her forever best friend, Jesus. And she never wanted anything more for the five of you than that you love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It was precisely her unbridled commitment to follow Jesus at any cost that so attracted me to her when we met in college. And this love for Jesus brought her through the deep suffering of childlessness, of numerous more personal struggles, and then the last months of her life as she wondered about the future of you, her dear children, whom she somehow knew she would not live to see grow up. She had long ago sought to plumb the depths of the meaning of pain and suffering and thought through the consequences of choosing a path of hardship in life. She modeled her life after Jesus. God's love for Mommy meant real healing as she lived out the last weeks of her life. During that time, she came back again and again to the words of a poem she had written some years ago. Out of the pain of childlessness and the challenge of surrendering all as we were preparing to travel to work in Africa. Matthew's going to read that this afternoon.
Wrapped in Angel Wings by Kayleen Mary. Wrapped in angel wings, sharing in his suffering, knowing that he weeps for me, my life is an offering. I serve a God who is not tame. He often ravages my soul. He leads me where I would not go, but he is good. Life leads to death. Death leads to life. I am wounded. You were killed. On a cross, I hung you high. Your call to me is come and die. Come and die to your dreams and your selfish inward schemes. See the world for which he cries. He needs compassion in your eyes. Redeemer, potter of my life and my days, my greatest fear is to leave you, for your holy presence wraps me in angel's wings.
You know the rest of the story of how God blessed us then with Karsten and Katjana and then little Ben. Mom knew God loves her, as the poem states, kids, even during her suffering and pain. Secondly, God was good in giving Mommy and I each other. Our marriage was fulfilling. We were of one mind in our life goals, our passion for the holiness of Christ, our compassion for the poor and the underserved. We never had an argument about finances that I recall. Perhaps I've repressed some bad memory at some time, but I don't recall any, and now there's only one witness to the event. We recognize that all we have is His, and that we should live accordingly. Even when I went out when we arrived and bought that ridiculously big house here in Rochester, she didn't get angry or nag, but rather gave me a compassionate hug, realizing I'd done it mostly out of self-service rather than selfless service. I am who I am because Mom dared to gently love me into someone who could more fully love others. She completed my life like a rudder completes the life of a ship. She gave me stability and direction in times of difficulty. I want to remind you of Mommy's last words to me. On Saturday, February 9th, a month ago, the day after we spent the day grieving in her hospital room thinking that was the end, and then she lived another month, her care team had lessened her sedation for just a while to allow her to come up out of that, check her neurologic status. And as she began to move and then her eyelids flickered and her eyes opened and our gaze met each other's, she mouthed the words, "I love you," around her endotracheal tube and then fell back asleep. Kids, if she could have spoken to you in her last days, she would have said the same thing. There are no words that I treasure more, except perhaps the words she spoke 22 and a half years ago at our marriage, when she promised to stay with me for life with the words, "I do." Our 22 years together weren't perfect, and they weren't the stuff of fairy tales, but they were profoundly good. Thirdly, God was good, too, in taking Mommy home. When Mommy's leukemia returned in October, we knew it wasn't good. And I remember that we gathered Matthew and Marielle together in our bedroom, and none of the four of us was able to maintain composure, and we all wept together. But then a month and a half later, when the workup showed leukemia and the spinal fluid, Mom called me at the office, and she said, "I need you at home." And I met her in the garage, and she collapsed in my arms, sobbing. She said, "I'm going to die. All I ever wanted was to see my kids grow up." We called you together with us in the bedroom, And then I witnessed the most remarkable transformation as Mom went from the mudroom by the garage to the bedroom, sat down on the bed between the two of you facing the closet, and with perfect composure, she said the following words, or something very close to it. She said, "I want you to listen carefully to what I'm going to tell you. This lab result probably means I won't get better from the leukemia. But you need to know that no matter how this feels, that God loves you. He is good, and He is in perfect control, and I trust Him. And if I die, He has a plan for your life that includes my death, that is full of goodness." "You've both been blessed," she said, "to you, Matthew and Marielle," but she would have said the same to the three little ones. "All five of you have been blessed with extraordinary gifts and talents to use in God's service. When you miss me," Mommy said, "know that you will honor me the most by using those gifts to their fullest. Don't fall into the trap of self-pity or despair, but work hard for God's glory. Serve Jesus." Dear family and friends, God's love for Kayleen and Kayleen's passion for God meant she had worked through the hard questions before the hard times came. God was good in loving Kayleen. God was good in giving us each other. God was good in taking Kayleen home to the indescribable beauty of heaven and His glorious presence. And I will deeply miss her.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. And when
All of us have memories of Kayleen. As her brother, I have many special ones, and I'd like to share one or two of those with you this morning. Kayleen, since she was a little tiny girl, loved to sing. I guess that's why we have so many songs today. She loved to sing. I remember we'd get in the car in West Africa. My parents had turned the engine on. We didn't have radios, but we had Kayleen. As soon as the engine went on, she started to sing, and she did not stop, would not stop, until we got wherever we were going, and the engine turned off again. She loved song. The last time I was with Kayleen was in between her visits with ICU, and again, she pointed out to me certain songs, some of them that we're singing this morning, wanted me to listen to them, and if she could have sung them, I know she would have sung them that day. Kayleen also pointed to me that day, wanted me to look at Psalm 57, Psalm that had come to mean a lot to her in the last difficult months. And it's a psalm that some of the verses are written on the papers you received as you came in today. The psalmist writes, "Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge, and I take refuge in the shadow of your wings, until the disaster has passed." And Kayleen had that beautiful picture that you see on the fronts of these programs on her windowsill in the hospital room, and asked me more than once to look at that picture. She said, "That's me. I'm a weak bird, I'm tired, but I'm in my Savior's hands." What amazes me about Psalm 57 is that the psalmist doesn't stop with his ache and with his hurt. He moves on in that psalm and comes to verse 8, and he says these words, "Awake, my soul, awake, harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn." And I can imagine Kayleen today awakening the dawn. She's singing a song like she has never sung. And I think one of the amazing things about heaven is it won't just give us an opportunity to sing like we've never sung, but we will continue to sing every moment in new ways that we haven't sung before for eternity, getting better and better and better. And I'm sure that that's what Kayleen is doing just now. I remember her always loving to sing. I also remember, and Steve alluded to this 22 and a half years ago, when Kayleen and Steve made their vows one to another. And they had asked me to participate in that wedding ceremony. And I remember that day, Kayleen and Steve standing in front of me, and we talked that day with others listening in about love and faithfulness. And those same phrases arrive in this passage in Psalm 57, the psalmist goes on in verse 10 and says, "For great is your love, reaching to the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the skies." Those two phrases, love and faithfulness of God's character, are found time after time after time, coupled together in Scripture. And that day, 22 and a half years ago, Kayleen and Steve committed themselves to a commitment to the same kind of character as they walked together in love and faithfulness. And that walk has enabled them to experience tremendous joy and to experience tremendous life. That love and faithfulness enabled Kayleen to love life. It enabled Kayleen to love the cold of the Upper Peninsula and to love the hot, dry air of Côte d'Ivoire. It enabled Kayleen to love the beauty of flowers. It enabled Kayleen to love Steve. And it enabled Kayleen to love children. She loved watching them grow, especially her own. Watching them learn about God, learn about His creation, learn about His beauty. There was nothing that gave Kayleen as much joy. We might say, where is God's love and faithfulness today? But I'm convinced that today is an opportunity for us to see His love and faithfulness in the most perfect way. Because He has taken her to be with Himself. As Steve said, as she let go of her grip here, she ran into the presence of the one she loved. And she began to experience the love and faithfulness of God in a way that none of us yet can. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the writer says that we have light and momentary trials here on earth. And they are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so he says we don't look at the temporary things. We fix our eyes on the eternal, because the eternal is what lasts. The unseen is what lasts. Kayleen has stepped into the eternal. One of the gifts our African friends have given us is the ability to loosen our focus on the things of this world and increase our focus on the eternal. And Kayleen is now there experiencing it in all of its richness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul goes on to say these amazing words. While we are in this tent, we groan and we are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Sometimes we think that we have right now are experiencing Kayleen being overcome by death, and we're not. She has been overcome by life himself. She has been swallowed up in life, and she has been overwhelmed by eternity. She stepped out of the light, which seemed to us to be very heavy trials and troubles that she was experiencing in those last weeks. But in comparison to what she's experiencing now, the heaviness, the weightiness of forever in the presence of the one who is always loving and always faithful. She's moved out of this suffering and moved into the heaviness of the eternal. She has been overwhelmed by life. She has been overcome by life. I thank God for Kayleen's song, but I thank God that now she is singing it to the master that she loves so much. I thank God for Kayleen's love and faithfulness. And I thank God that right now she is experiencing the one who taught her love and faithfulness. And she is experiencing the richness of being overcome by life.
My life, my strength, my song.
may be seated.
I'm Lynn, Kayleen's big sister. We were 9 years apart, so for years she was my beloved little sister. As the youngest daughter, fifth in a line of six children, Kayleen enjoyed a special rapport with our parents. She alone teased Dad about his clothing combinations, and Mom about her anxious moments on African roads. As Mom says, she showed her deep, true love for them through many acts of service that showed concern for both emotional and physical needs. They always knew that she genuinely enjoyed being with them. As adults, Kayleen and I grew into soulmates. Although we nearly always lived far apart, we found ways to stay connected. We never guessed that our most intimate connection would come through her battle with leukemia these past months when she needed me to accompany her. And what a privilege it has been to just be with her, to learn from her and grow with her. Her courage is something I will never forget. It came from her certain knowledge that Jesus held her hand. There was a poem that she asked me to copy out for her both years when I was here to post on the wall as testimony to what she knew was true. It's God, You Are Love by Robert Browning. If I forget, God remembers. If these hands of mine cease from their clinging, the hands divine hold me so firmly that I cannot fall. And if sometimes I am too tired to call for Him to help me, then He reads the prayer unspoken in my heart and lifts my care. I dare not fear, for certainly I know that I am in His keeping, shielded so from all that else would harm. In the hour of stern temptation, I am strengthened by His power. I tread no path in life to Him unknown. I lift no burden, bear no pain alone. My soul a calm, sure hiding place has found. The everlasting arms my life surround. God, You are love. I built my faith on that. I know that You who have kept my path and made light for me in darkness, tempering sorrow so that it reached me as a solemn joy, it were too strange that I should doubt Your love. Kayleen struggled with suffering in many dimensions of her life. The most painful one had been infertility. When Matthew and Marielle were finally born, she was ecstatic. She was an amazing mother. I was frankly a little awed whenever I watched her with her kids. She was incredibly creative, infinitely patient, and wrapped up in studying them. But she yearned for more. Finally, she and Steve decided they would adopt and went to Kazakhstan to find Karsten and Katiana. Her mother heart was unsatisfied, and she made up bedtime songs for each one and taught them the story of how she and Steve had chosen them in the baby house. It seemed that God had waited for them to bring those two children into their family before sending them their surprise, Benjamin. Now with five, her lap was full. Bringing that family together, a family that would never have existed but for her yearning and love, is a crucial part of her legacy. She was an outstanding mother. Suffering and the drive to overcome it and the experience of abundance in the midst of it all became a theme for Kayleen. You heard it in one of her favorite songs earlier today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful where the streams of abundance flow, or on the road marked with suffering when there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. During the past 2 years, Kayleen walked the road marked with pain in the offering. She contributed some devotionals to a book along with other women who are battling cancer, praying through cancer. This one, devotional, expresses what she most wanted to share with you today. It's called When There's Nothing You Can Do. And it's based on Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within Him. Bless His holy name. This is Kayleen's voice now. My first round of chemo literally almost knocked me out. Not only were the cancer cells under attack, but I also developed many infections, including pneumonia. I was on oxygen and had barely enough strength to move. Fevers raged. One night as I tossed in bed, sweaty and in pain, it struck me that there was nothing I could do. I couldn't take care of the children. I couldn't help my husband with the load he was carrying. I couldn't even carry on much of a conversation. useless. And then the words hit me, bless the Lord. Even with a body that seemed wasted and a heart that ached, I could bless the Lord. I could offer my silent praise to Him and offer Him my body, mind, and emotions. This was all I could do, but I had an overwhelming sense that He was pleased. Anyone who spent much time with Kayleen during her illness was impacted by her spirit. Again and again, various medical staff would return to visit and to express their appreciation of her and sometimes of her faith as well. Once when she was wearing out, I said to her after one such visit, "See, Kayleen, you minister to people in an amazing way." Her reply was, "But I don't do anything." And I answered, "No, it's who you are." Some of us who sat by Kayleen these past months were stunned by the sense of holy suffering in that room. It was holy, consecrated to God for His purposes. She hoped His purpose was to restore her to her family. When she was too exhausted to get out of bed and walk up and down the hospital corridors, which she was commanded to do, she would say, "This round is for Matthew," and get up and walk. And the next night, "This one is for Marielle," and so on. Child by child, night after night, she made her legs move to get strong for each one in turn. Her Lord held her dreams while she lived and still holds them now that she's gone from us. I know this means He will take care of Steve and of her kids and build on her legacy. Kayleen had dreams involving Africa, too, a land she had loved from her roots there. She found a kindred spirit in Steve. His main vision was for medical ministry. Hers was to help that happen and to build relationships for God's kingdom. After their evacuation from Ivory Coast in 2002, they went to Togo for a year, and Kayleen's life there expressed this. She involved her children in many facets of African life and made friends with people others overlooked. The yard workers, babysitters, sellers in the marketplace. She brought some of them to know Jesus. Several said that for the first time, they had experienced complete love and acceptance from a foreigner. 2 months ago, Kayleen and I were spending a Sunday morning together in the hospital. I read her the story of a young Swedish woman, Svea, and her husband, who went as missionaries to the Belgian Congo in 1921, living near a remote village where the chief would not allow them entry. Svea decided she would befriend the one person who was allowed to come see them, a little boy who sold them chickens and eggs once a week. She brought him to Jesus. Shortly thereafter, she gave birth to a baby girl, and then she died of malaria. The husband felt God had betrayed him. He gave the baby away to an American missionary couple and left in despair for Sweden. When that baby grew up in America and traced her story back to Svea in the Congo, she discovered that the entire African village had become Christian through that young boy Svea had taught. And later, that same boy became leader of a group of churches 10,000 strong. Kayleen and I were both in tears when she finished this story. The point was clear. The impact of our lives cannot be measured by what we know now. I think it was another big step for Kayleen, leaving her dreams for Africa in God's hands. Who knows what the Lord will do as a result of Kayleen's year in Togo, or in Rochester for that matter. The significance of her life was that it was lived to bless the Lord, whatever, wherever she was, and that is an abundantly fruitful life.
Thank you.
I realize that this memorial service is fast becoming like an African church service, where they often have three or four sermons. But be of good courage. This is the last one. I want to speak for a few moments on the theme of suffering, Christian service, and the sovereignty of God. If we are not careful, a death like Kayleen Mary's could lead us beyond grief to doubt and despair. For Kayleen's death does not fit the usual picture of the character of God or the life of the Christian. The popular concept goes like this. God is loving and working for our good. He reserves his best for those who are particularly close to him. He blesses them with health and wealth until at a ripe old age they die peacefully in their sleep. Should they encounter trouble along the way, they pray to God and he answers them by removing the problem. But that did not happen here. Instead, God said to Kayleen, I'm calling you to suffer, both to experience my glory and to declare my glory. As we've heard, Kayleen was born into a missionary home in Africa. And so much did she enjoy that life that she returned to the continent with her husband Steve and her family to serve the sick and the needy in the Ivory Coast. Civil war forced their evacuation after Steve and Kayleen had lain on the bathroom floor of their house while bullets whizzed around them as the rebels seized the town. I think that most of us might have taken the hint at this point and gone home. But the Marys instead moved to Togo, where they worked at the Baptist Mission Hospital. And then, as we know, Kayleen was diagnosed with leukemia. That's not supposed to happen to missionaries, especially godly ones. The family moved to Rochester so Kayleen could get treatment, and people all around the world began to pray, and we interceded with great confidence. Surely, God, you're going to heal this young woman and this mother of five so that she can go back to Africa and serve you there. That's the best way that your work can be done. If that is our understanding of God and Christian service, then indeed this death could lead to doubt and despair. But it did not have that effect on Kayleen and Steve because they had read the book. They knew the whole story. They understood what Dietrich Bonhoeffer called the cost of discipleship. No cheap grace for them. For suffering is the real story of the Bible. It's the reason why Jesus tells us to count the cost before we follow him. He commands us to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow him if we're going to call ourselves a Christian. And that command is so important that Jesus repeated it four times in the Gospels. And then carrying his own cross, he went to Golgotha. To deny yourself means to no longer make yourself the object of your life and actions. To bear your cross means that you're willing to suffer and die for the Lord's sake. And to follow Christ means that we'll follow him where he went, and he went to the cross. And let's remember, the cross was a means of suffering and of death. So in the Bible we learn that suffering comes from the hands of a loving God who calls his choicest servants to suffer in a way that witnesses to the world. So in the Old Testament, we see Job and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and others suffering for their faith. Their very ministry flowed from their suffering and indeed would not be possible without it. We turn the pages of the New Testament and we find Stephen martyred for his faith, and Peter and Paul, the leaders of the church, being put to death. And we discover this is no accident, but is rather part of the sovereign plan and purpose of God. So why, God, do you act in this way. He does so because he knows that there's much more learned and accomplished through suffering than through success. Yes, we're greatly encouraged by noble feats and great successes, but think of the one event in the last 10 years that brought our country closer together. It was not a great success, but rather a great tragedy. It was September the 11th, after which there was a greater sense of national unity and purpose and patriotism than at any other time in decades. And Kayleen Merry's suffering and death has done that for us. Some are sent to show us how to live. Kayleen showed us how to die. And I, for one, am profoundly grateful. For each one of us will die at some time, and we need models. And by the grace of God, Kayleen provided an example for us to follow. She's taught us to face death with faith and confidence in the goodness and love and sovereignty of God. She showed us what Christianity looks like as she walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Had God chosen to heal her, which he was perfectly capable of doing, we would have rejoiced and been glad for a while. But I suspect we might soon have forgotten that miracle. In his sovereign grace, God had other plans for Kayleen. And the result is that we shall never forget the way she died. Some of us have been changed forever. I believe that her greatest missionary work was done in Rochester. But it was broadcast around the world through a series of amazing emails sent out by Steve and the family. At one point Steve wrote, Kayleen would be happy to have lain in that bed another month if it meant that people would come to Christ as a result of her suffering. And how God has used her. I recently returned from India where I spoke to some pastors. I discovered that some of them were going through some very difficult times of persecution. And I sat in my room at night wondering what to say to them the next day, the final day of the conference, what to say to them that might help them. And I walked in the next day and I told them about Kayleen, this remarkable woman. And those pastors went back to their churches with a stronger faith and greater courage. I told her story to my brother in Indonesia and another brother in England, and they shared it with others. And the circle keeps enlarging. And you've done similar things. People have come closer to Christ because of Kayleen's confidence in God. On the Martyrs Memorial in Oxford, England, where the deaths of Cranmer, Redley and Latimer are commemorated, a verse from Philippians is paraphrased. It says, to them it was given not only to believe, but also to suffer for his sake. As Christians, we receive not only the gift of belief, but also the gift of suffering. In God's eyes, suffering is not all bad because of what it accomplishes in our lives. Paul says that this suffering happens so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Not many of us are called to become like Christ in his death, but Kayleen was. And she suffered and died in a way that brings tremendous honor to Christ and glory to God. Kayleen prayed that her sufferings would accomplish something in the lives of others. And the greatest accomplishment would be that many of us would come to Christ as a result of seeing the unshaken nature of her faith. A Romanian pastor who was imprisoned under Ceausescu said to the guards who were torturing him, Christians are like nails. The harder you hit them, the deeper they go. And Kayleen went deep into God. And she took us with her. She showed us that Jesus is present in every stage of leukemia and that God's grace shines into the darkest hole of bad news. One of the frustrations of pain is that it often seems pointless. And there's certainly a mystery to suffering that we don't fully comprehend. And yet in Kayleen's case, we were privileged to see this was no random event, no accident of circumstances. For God was pleased to use her in an extraordinary way. And that is no bad return on the investment of her life. When Paul speaks of the death of the physical body in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body which is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It is raised in power." Kayleen suffered in her body through her illness. But it's important to remember that her physical body has been transformed in heaven. So I say to you children, you will see your mummy again. She loved you, and she loved God, and she wants you to love him too. Many lovely things have been said about Kayleen, but the most important is this. She believed in Jesus as her Savior, and that's why she could say, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Death is gain for the Christian because it takes us to be with Christ, which is far better. And it's also gain for others who watch and see the reality of the Christian faith. Solomon is described as the wisest man in the Bible. And he said it's better to attend funerals than festivals. The reason is that at funerals we're confronted with our own mortality. We're made to think of eternal issues. In the darkness of death, the gospel shines with radiant light. So let us use this time profitably, as wise old Solomon instructs. Let us cling to Christ. Let us claim him as our King. As together we thank God for the life of Kayleen Merry, who served and suffered with joy for the pleasure of her Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. And now, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, now and forevermore. Amen.